our goal.
This is Free Talk Live. You can bring up anything. Dial toll-free 800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line. We are launching into hour number three of the program. You can take control of the airwaves and bring up anything. Again, 1-800-259-9231. You can join us on our website at freetalklive.com. All the features are totally free, so enjoy those on us at freetalklive.com. And if you are somebody who is in college or maybe just fresh out of college, and you're interested in, for instance, getting some experience in the broadcast or journalism industry, perhaps in the world of video game production, perhaps movies, film, animation, or even the dreaded public policy, you can do it all if you go to libertarianinternships.com, where they're looking for libertarian students and recent graduates interested in careers of what I just mentioned in regards to spring, summer, and even fall internships. All positions are paid. And the ones that are in movies, film, animation, or video game production include a $2,000 stipend for a 10-week internship, housing and travel allowance, tuition and travel assistance, novels and academic works on economics, history, and philosophy, networking opportunities in major media centers like New York City, Los Angeles, and D.C. So there are three different semester deadlines, spring, summer, and fall. You can go to libertarianinternships.com to get more information and submit your application. Again, libertarianinternships.com. We'll tell you more about the broadcast stuff a little bit later this hour. All right, 1-800-259-9231. That's the number for you, Mark. You've got to change gears here. We're going to talk education. Why is it that government schools are like prisons?
Well, from the Prometheus Institute at...
that's a former sponsor of Free Talk Live.
That's right. Well, it's a good site. The PrometheusInstitute.org, and I think you can go to readpi.com. It's the articles by both Hartfield and Harrison over there. Number one, 10 reasons why America's public schools are like America's prisons. Number one, both are compulsory. Obviously,
yeah.
Prisons are designed to be compulsory punishment, yet public schools, especially for poor kids, can also be de facto imprisonment.
It's like day prison.
Schooling is required by law, and parents are often geographically, financially, or in some other way limited to their local public school. Students end up being forced by law into the dictated state-run institution.
Well, if you don't take, if you're a parent and you allow your kid to not go to government school, and at the same time they're also not going to some government-approved private school, and at the same time they're not enrolled in some government-approved homeschooling program. In many states, the homeschooling regulations are very, very different from one another. But in a lot of cases, government has to essentially sign off on the fact that your parents are homeschooling. So if you haven't gone through any sort of government-approved schooling process, then there's a chance they're going to take your parents and put them in a real full-time prison. So the coercion is absolutely present.
Well, likely they'll take the kid away and put them in a full-time prison called foster care.
That too.
Or some other way. Parents are often geographically, financially, or in some other way limited to their local public school. Students end up being forced by law into the dictated state-run institution. It's worth mention that vouchers, which PI happens to support, would free parents and students from the lack of choice in schools. That way, you get to choose your prison.
Well, yeah, vouchers, not such a great idea, because the thing with vouchers is essentially what that will do is it will make it so private schools, which are pretty autonomous at this point, will become government sort of extensions of the government school system. They won't be run by the government, but in order to get the money for the vouchers, the government can put and attach whatever strings it would like to that money. So therefore, it can tell these private school operators, hey, you want some extra cash? Well, if you want this money, you're going to have to do X, Y, Z, and so on and so forth. And so that essentially makes them subservient to the state in a way that they've never been before. And I think that's one of the major downfalls of the voucher program. What people who believe in liberty should be advocating is the total ability to retain the money in the first place, never send it to the government, and decide on your own what to do with it.
Yeah, I think that's what the case is. I think that maybe perhaps a better solution, if there needs to be a step in between, is what everyone will always say is, what about the poor people? They won't get any education. Well, then you're talking about welfare. You're not talking about the middle class welfare that currently exists in public schools. You're talking about maybe 10% of the population, maybe 20% of the population, depending where you are, that need help. Now,
if Squirrel Man can get an RV, kids can get an education.
Well, maybe, if you're talking about a step in between some kind of government-run, scholarship program that will send these kids to school. And it's better. It's not perfect by any stretch. However, I was looking at the rates for public and private schools here
around
locally.
Here, right? Yeah.
And it
blew me away.
Yeah, it appears to be that they spend, in my town, which only has a school that runs from kindergarten through eighth grade, and then they, pay money to send their high schoolers off elsewhere. But just to send kids to that school, kindergarten through eighth grade, and there's not that much that, it doesn't cost as much. You don't need as many teachers. It's not as high a level of education.
Right.
You're talking $8,000 per student.
Wow.
There's a private school in the same town that it's the tuition to send a kid, and one has to assume that there's some level of cushion built into that tuition, is $1,500. Now, that's the cheapest one I could
find.
For
a year?
Yes, it's the cheapest one I could find, and there's some caveats to it, but essentially they have one teacher that teaches the kindergarten, the lower grades, and then the 4 through 6 or 4 through 8 or whatever it is are taught essentially via computer from some other remote location. Mm-hmm. There's only a few kids there, so they learn their the teacher helps out a little bit, and they learn on the computer with a remote professor, but wouldn't neat ideas like this make it so that people could educate their kids far more cheaply? I can send my kid to a private school for $1,500 a year.
That's chump change.
I have to pay to send somebody else's brat to the tune of $8,000
right.
a year. Look, it likely they're driving that brat to school in an Escalade. It's sickening to
me.
It's
wow.
sickening.
You know,
this is what we're doing to the poor people is we're running them out of their homes with these high-ass property taxes.
It's crazy.
Because we, the middle class, who want this welfare system for our kids, are saying, look, we've got to have more money to educate the poor kids. That's not the poor kids. It's the middle-class kids that are breaking the communities.
Look, I'm not saying that stuff. I am not part of that we because I wouldn't be able to live in this town. I wouldn't be able to live in Keene, New Hampshire, if I didn't have a duplex. If I didn't have a hardworking family living next door to me, paying my property the property taxes for me, if I could give them a discount on the property taxes, for instance, 60% of property taxes here goes to the government education system. Well, my property tax bill's about $5,000, so you're looking at $2,700, $2,800 essentially. That's being paid into the government school system. There's that $1,500 right there. I could very easily give all that money back to those folks. They could take that money into the marketplace, and they could shop around for whatever kind of education they wanted for their daughter instead of having to accept this awful one-size-fits-all government education or government indoctrination system. And it's interesting, Mark? It's interesting to think about how much cheaper it could be. I mean, we're looking at these numbers, and these are as they are today with this tremendous marketplace distortion being brought into play by the government. I mean, the government is here in Keene. You said it's $8,000 where you live, but here in Keene, the big city, it's $13,000 per student. So $13,000 versus $1,500 or even some of the more expensive schools. You looked at some of the pricier ones that are in the area. They still don't even come close to $13,000.
Many of them don't. Some of them do, but
I thought the highest one was like $7,000.
Well, there's the ones I read to you, reading, there are others. But at that point, you're talking about the very high-end preparatory schools, and in some cases, that covers a certain level of boarding, too.
Well, I can get... It's like in the restaurant business. You can go to Ruth's Chris and you can spend a whole lot of money on a dinner, or you can
fine dinner,
or you can go to a diner and spend a fraction of the price and still fill your belly.
Yep.
So it's not to say that $1,500 school is doing a bad job. They're just more competitive. They're being innovative. They're doing things differently. They've managed to lower costs. Imagine how much cheaper education could be if everybody was shopping around in the marketplace. If parents were having to call schools and get rates, if they were having to call around and say, hey, what do you offer? I'm comparing you against your competition against town. What do you got that they don't, and what do you charge for it? How much lower could prices be? How much cheaper? How much more innovative?
I think that's really the issue. You'd get far more for your education dollar, and there would be schools out there doing all kinds of things.
Customized education, various different programs, various different electives, different paths people could take. It would be so great. And there's more reasons why schools are like prisons. Obviously, we have a lot to say on this, and if you do too, dial in 800-259-9231. This is Free Talk Live.
And now it's time for the Green at Work Minute. Thoughts and advice on how to get your company environmentally friendly from within. Here's noted author and business expert, Tim Sanders.
In the workplace, we are printing more pages than ever. Document printing has become one of our biggest eco-villains, especially for knowledge workers. In fact, we print one piece of paper every 8 minutes, and the number rises annually by almost 20%. Why? An abundance of information combined with widespread availability of fast, cheap copiers. Here's an alternative. Learn to save and archive files on your computer. Think before you print. And if you're sending documents, add in a message to the recipient and suggest that they too save and archive instead of printing. That's an earth-friendly feature we can all keep in mind. For the Green at Work Minute, I'm Tim Sanders.
For more information on how to make your company green and make a difference as well as a dollar, please visit savingtheworld.net. The responsibility revolution is underway, and it's challenging the importance of the bottom line. Both consumers and employers have turned away from price consciousness to demand that companies make a difference to society through their products, manufacturing methods, environmental efforts, and community outreach. Saving the World at Work, the new book by noted author and green expert Tim Sanders, is about the new value system, where consumers pay as much attention to a company's environmental and social policies as to its pricing structures. Saving the World at Work is available wherever books are sold.
Are your Federal Reserve notes looking for a safe haven? Mine found it in precious metals. Not paper promises, but actual gold in my possession. It is liquid, it is private, it owes no one, it cannot go bankrupt, and it maintains its purchasing power. Find your answer at Midas Resources. That's 1-800-686-2237. The answer is at 1-800-686-2237.
HempUSA.org is now offering free shipping worldwide to better serve our customers. Our goal is to get these fine hemp products to you in the least amount of time so you can enjoy what the powder seeds and oil can do for you. HempUSA.org has a warning that the U.S. food supplies are dangerously low, and we urge you to protect your family with hemp storable foods today. Tomorrow may be too late. Call 908-691-2608 or visit HempUSA.org. This incredible food source is loaded with enzymes so your body can digest the food you eat. And it creates an alkaline environment where cancer can't grow and parasites cannot live, and brings funguses, viruses, and bacterial levels down and to a halt. Try our powder seeds and oil today. Call 908-691-2608 or visit hempusa.org. If the body has the proper nutrition, it will heal itself. Ask yourself, why does our government not allow this crop to grow in the U.S.? This product is also great for pets and animals. Call 908-691-2608 or go to hempusa.org today.
Attention. This is an extremely urgent, self-reliant news bulletin. If you have ever wanted to produce your own cheaper-than-dirt survival food, this is going to be the most important message you will ever hear. Here is why. This network has just learned of a new video course that reveals the secrets of how to safely prepare and store all types of survival foods in an event of social unrest and food shortages here in the U.S. Grain shortages and hunger are spreading across the globe. Will troops guard the food supplies in the U.S. this fall? Don't wait. Learn the food shortage skills that can keep you and your family alive in a crisis. Get the details at foodshortageusa.com. That's foodshortageusa.com. Or you can call toll-free 877-327-0365. Don't wait for empty shelves. Go to foodshortageusa.com while you still have time. www.foodshortageusa.com or toll-free at 877-327-0365. Act now.
This is Free Talk Live. Call toll-free 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231. And get interactive at freetalklive.com.
This is Free Talk Live. You can bring up anything, dial toll-free to 1-800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line, and it's Ian here with you.
And Mark?
Again, that number, 1-800-259-9231. You can join us online at freetalklive.com. All the features are free. They include updates. You get signed up, we clue you in whenever there's something you need to know about Free Talk Live. So go to updates.freetalklive.com. Get on the list for free. That's updates.freetalklive.com.
Get the inside scoop on football betting from Ted Murray and find out about rape defense from self-defense expert Kimber Johnson. All at PaladinPodcast.com. PaladinPodcast.com is a service of Paladin Press, and you can browse over 900 books and DVDs on topics as, such as personal and financial freedom, Second Amendment issues, self-defense, and more. Remember, it's PaladinPodcast.com.
We continue with your phone calls. We'll get back to the top 10 reasons why government schools are like prisons. But first, let's go to Ziggy in the UK. Ziggy, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hi, guys. Right.
Hey there.
There's one sector of industry which was in recession before any other sector, but you hear no one talk about it. The sex industry.
The sex, like porn? Like prostitutes?
Yeah.
Now, how do you know?
And of course, the government prohibits prostitution, which doesn't help people earn a living.
I thought it was legal over there in the UK.
The government first of all said they were going to liberalise the laws, and then they said they weren't.
Hmm.
I think it's to do with the fact that there are progressives, of course, on the left, and we do have a left wing government at the moment. Progressives on the left who probably do think that you should legalise prostitution, but you also have left wing feminists who think prostitution is an exploitation of women.
Because women can't make decisions for themselves. What I'm curious about here, Ziggy, is what are the economic indicators that you're relying on to suggest that this has been obvious in the sex business?
Well, I don't want anyone to judge my character by this, but I do know people who do work in the sex industry.
I don't see why that's necessarily a judge of your character.
You mean prostitutes or porn stars?
Yeah, well, as soon as you mention prostitutes, everyone thinks that you visit them. I don't. I just happen to know a few. And all their business is down. I don't know if you remember, there was somebody who rang into your show, must be almost a year ago, called Barbie, who was actually from your side of the pond.
Yeah, I do recall that, yeah.
Yeah. Well, their site back in 2000 was making $1,800 a week. This week they've only made $10.
Damn.
Basically, the reason why sites like theirs have been hit hard is because basically, when money gets tight, the luxuries go first.
Yeah. Well, I mean, when you're talking about porn websites, that's an interesting observation because there's so much free porn on the internet. Certainly, you can go and pay for it, but you don't really have to. I mean, there are now websites that are like the YouTube for porn. You can just go and watch porn.
A lot of people that pay currently are people that have particular types of fetishes that it is that they like.
Okay.
They like stuff in particular, and the stuff
you can find some of that on the free porn sites.
I'm not saying you can't. I think you just have to cull through more things.
Maybe they're more willing to now because the economy's tighter. Maybe Ziggy's absolutely right on this.
Yeah, and I mean, as for the prostitutes, I know who actually do it for real. They've told me business is really, really, really down.
That's interesting.
In the old days, they could expect 5 clients a day. Now they're lucky to get 2 clients a week.
I would think that the sex trade like that wouldn't really take so much of a hit simply because people are always going to want to get off. So there's always going to be some demand, but you're saying that they're just satisfying themselves, huh?
Yeah.
Interesting. Well, if you need the money, I can see it.
Yeah, that much is true. Zig, thanks for the call tonight. Appreciate you bringing that up. And if anybody else is out there working for a porn website or working in the sex trade, maybe working at, I wonder if strippers, are they down too? What
I would
strip
imagine.
Clubs, probably. I would love to hear from you.
Especially when you're talking about strip clubs selling those, $8 beers.
Yeah, I would love to hear from you on this at 1-800-259-9231. Otherwise, we continue here with the 10 reasons why government schools are a lot like prisons. Number 9?
2.
Number 2. We're going up the list.
Both are overcrowded as a result of poor public policy. In the case of prisons, The drug and the drug war and other misguided prosecutions of nonviolent offenses has unleashed a torrent of criminals into the prison system. In the case of schools, the aforementioned herding of young criminals into local public schools creates the same result. Overcrowding.
Mm-hmm.
The intelligent policies to reverse both problems would be the discrimination of decriminalization of nonviolent offenses and school vouchers. There they are pushing school vouchers again. But, you know, I understand why they're pushing school vouchers. I was on the side of school vouchers for a while. I'm not so far removed from it that I hate the idea. I think it's ever so slightly better, but I just think that there's a better solution, and that solution would be what I just said, scholarships for poor people, because that's what people always say. What about the kids that can't afford it? This vouchers take away the market influences that would go to public schools and ruin the public schools too.
Three.
Both are prone to violent insurrection. Both prison breaks and school shootings occasionally, but not infrequently, stir public fear in the nightly news. Probably more school shootings than prison riots recently. When either occurs, blame is usually spread liberally and often misplaced. The state should be at least partially faulted for its overweening presence, yet inability to effectively maintain peace. Insurrections can be prevented when prisoners are correctly controlled. School shootings can be prevented when kids are effectively taught right from wrong. I think that you likely would have some level of prison riots in a free market system, some level of school shootings, school violence in a free market system. I do think that they would be better.
Prisons would have less people in them. I mean, because
fewer people, because as they suggested,
if nonviolent crimes were eliminated, the consensual crimes out there, as Ziggy suggested, prostitution, gambling, drugs. That would clear a tremendous amount of people, clear them right out of those prison cells, and not having the volume would, I think, do a lot to contribute to less rioting.
I think that we've been talking about solutions for schools here, and probably this article's aimed at that to some extent.
Mm-hmm.
However, for some solutions to prisons, well, if the judge, for one of two things, and I think that both of them would help even individually. First off, there should be no plea bargaining, period. End of story. No plea bargaining. The public does not benefit from plea bargaining. Nobody but the state benefits from plea bargaining. The victims don't benefit from plea bargaining, and the criminal doesn't benefit from plea bargaining. The criminal, well, like in some cases, criminals will accept a plea bargain in the case that they didn't do it in mm-hmm. order to, you know, spare their family, spare all kinds of people a trial in the thoughts that they couldn't prove themselves innocent. The public has to pay to incarcerate all these people.
Yeah.
The victims are unhappy because the criminal doesn't get fully charged and fully sentenced. So plea bargaining hurts everyone. So get rid of plea bargaining, period. Well, people say, well, we wouldn't be able to handle the overcrowding. Here's the other issue. Turn over the incarceration of people to the free market. The judge hands down a sentence. The prisoner then gets to choose which prison they want to go to. The prisons then get to choose, of course, this is a business arrangement. They get to choose whether or not they take that criminal.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, the more violent, the more dangerous, the more difficult to control the inmate, the fewer prisons would take him, and they'd end up in the worst places.
Toll-free number here, 800-259-9231. We've got more comparisons, schools versus prisons. It's Free Talk Live.
I'm Dr. Bill Deagle, MD, of the Nutramedical Report here on Genesis. Allicin's natural antibiotic from Alamax Nutraceuticals U.S. is a real thing. This amazing molecule is a stabilized antimicrobial, antipathogenic killer from fresh, never-before-available garlic. Allicin molecule is biologically active against all bacterial pathogens, viruses, fungi, parasites, TB, and it kills flesh-eating bacteria, MRSA, Acinetobacter infections that ravage our everyday health. Taken daily, it removes these stealth pathogens, clearing our bodies of disease activators that cause chronic health issues, and means a much higher level of wellness for you and your family. Order today for fighting disease, turning on your immune system, activating infection-fighting properties against sinus, lung, bowel, skin, Lyme disease, nail fungus, colds, flu, ringworm, gum disease, diarrhea, athlete's foot, and cholesterol. Secure online ordering is available at NutraMedical.com or call 888-212-8871. That number again, 888-212-8871, for the most powerful natural antimicrobial available.
Drink and Mate proudly presents another mind-boggling episode of America's Toughest Quiz Show. That's Too Complicated. Let's see if we can figure out which contestant got the intellectual edge after an evening of partying by using Drink and Mate.
For 20 points in the win, Milt, GLUR5 and blank kinate receptor subunits in hippocampal neurons co-assemble to form functional receptors.
Pony?
Oh, too bad. Yes, Chip.
The logical companion of GLUR 5, GLUR 6.
You've won the game!
Hey, life is like a game, and if you want to win, you've got to give it your best every day, which doesn't always happen after an evening of celebrating with friends and family. That's why there's Drinkin' Mate, a patented formula of guava leaf extract proven to reduce the effects of hangover. It restores balance to your body, keeping headaches and nausea at bay, and it really works. Tell them, Don.
Drinkin' Mate, I wouldn't be able to read this without it. Available at quality retailers nationwide. Drinkin' Mate urges you to please drink responsibly.
Are you sick and tired of spending your hard-earned money to fill your gas tank? Then do something about it. Fuel Savers Fuel Conditioner lets you drive further on each gallon of fuel. Completely safe for all engines. Just add a small squeeze of product to your tank each time you fill up to improve your fuel economy 10 to 20% or more, saving you 35 to 80 cents on every gallon. Each little 2-ounce squeeze bottle is highly concentrated and costs only $8 to treat 100 gallons of gas or 50 gallons of diesel. Buy a case and the price drops to a mere $6 per bottle with free shipping. Be one of the first 10 orders and get an additional 10% off your case purchase. That's $5.40 to treat 100 gallons of gas. Call toll-free 866-768-7811 or get more information at FuelSaverInc.com. First 10 orders, save 10% on a case purchase. Act now to save on fuel. 866-768-7811. Call now.
They say you can't predict the stock market. If you trade on a regular basis, you've probably heard that lie. But what if I told you there's a way to know which way the market will go each week, a whole week in advance? Do you think you could benefit from this kind of information? The guys over at eMiniForecaster.com put out a weekly forecast line. They call it a G-line, which forecasts the direction of the stock market a whole week in advance. Impossible? Head over to eMiniForecaster.com and check out their forecast history to see for yourself. eMiniForecaster.com predicts the market one whole week in advance. It's simple to use and can give you the market edge you've been looking for. If you're an active trader in the markets, go directly to eMiniForecaster.com. That's eMiniForecaster.com right now for more information. Again, that's eMiniForecaster.com.
This is Rob at eMiniForecaster.com, and I approve this message.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
Anything. The toll-free number is 1-800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line. It's Ian here with you.
And Mark.
Again, 800-259-9231. Join us on our website at freetalklive.com. All the features are free, so enjoy those on us. Again, freetalklive.com. If you like the show, want to help support Free Talk Live, become an amplifier. Head over to amp.freetalklive.com. Get signed up for as little as $3 a month. You can help us get on more radio stations across the country, around the world, bring more internet listeners to the program, and expose new people to the message of freedom and liberty. If that sounds good to you and you like the idea of maybe getting a few perks like access to the Amp Only chat room forum, the Amp Only call-in lines, which have been fixed, by the way. We've been having some problems with the Amp Only call-in lines, and it was all my fault. So they're now better.
I mean, there's a lot of technology involved in bringing this show to you, and you know, when you're setting and tweaking things, one little click in the wrong direction and
mistakes can be made.
There's problems. So, you know, and a lot of it, it's trial and error. It's not like they send you instruction books with these things that have every contingency set.
Yeah. So the amp line's now working. One of the perks at back online working 100%. So you get all these perks and you help us get on more stations. If that sounds good to you, please head over to amp.freetalklive.com and get signed up. And do be patient. I understand that somebody that signs up on a Sunday probably isn't going to get their account approved until Friday, simply because I only do the amp processing once a week and it's usually on a Friday or a Saturday. So if you've been waiting patiently
during the week, you have radio stations to call in order to get the the show on more stations. I think that amplifiers, although it might be a little frustrating, should understand once they know what you're doing during the day.
We've been working on attempting to automate the amp process as much as possible, but it's been a slow, grueling process, and in fact, we may be looking to hire somebody new online. I might send out an email update about that, looking for some resumes or something like that, so we can try to get this thing kicked into gear. But anyway, head over to amp.freetalklive.com to get on board with the AMP program. As we continue this list of the top 10 reasons why government indoctrination centers are a lot like government prisons, and we're on number 4?
That's correct. Both are poorly administered and inefficient.
Yeah, that's about all. That applies to every government program.
Yep. Excessive bureaucracy and centralization plague both institutions. The heavy state regulation of American K-12 education has enjoyed a well-documented history of failure, wasting money and resources to little benefit to the students and parents.
And an increased budget every time they fail.
I don't know that it's fair to say little benefit. It's certainly fair to say inefficient and less benefit than private schools have. If you as a parent had the choice to, all things being equal, sending your kid to the public school or sending them to a private school or government school or, you know, a school supported by the marketplace, who would you send them to? The vast majority of parents are going to answer that they would send them to a private school. The reason is private schools are better.
Yeah.
So why do we settle for this? Why do we pay far more per student?
I know why. Because they'll steal your house.
Well, but people support, the vast majority of people out there support the idea of public education.
Well, I think that that's because, why do they support public education?
Because they want kids educated, as though the kids can't get educated without the government.
Yeah, I guess that is the presumption, that without the government schools around, the kids would be out in the streets causing trouble. And
some parents likely would not, you know, take the steps that they should in order to educate their kids. I don't know what the solution to that is. I think that the vast majority of parents, would educate their kids. However, think about it from this standpoint. The government currently requires, in some cases, kids to go to school till they're 18.
Mm-hmm.
What if the family has problems? What if dad's injured and, you know, they need help bringing in money? Shouldn't the 15-year-old be able to go out and earn a little bit of money? That used to happen. Secondly, in requiring every student to go, this also requires some kids who are mentally not able to handle school very well. You know, like, I'm talking about kids that are really disabled.
Okay.
In a lot of cases, we'll spend, you'll have teachers like one for every 3 students, one for every 2 students. I've heard 2 teachers for every 1 student in some of these really special ed type classes. I'm talking about kids in wheelchairs that are drooling on themselves, things like that. The amount of money that's spent on those kids that are never going to pay society back.
Right. Isn't that the whole idea behind government schools, to you know, to invest in the future, that sort of thing?
It would be far more efficiently handled in a charitable situation, or for parents leaving a parent at home to take care of this child. The idea that that we're educating those kids or not.
Let's go back to the issue real quick of the idea that there could be some parents, in the absence of governmental coercion, because we know that parents are threatened with being put in jails or having their houses stolen from them if they don't participate with the government system. But so the objection that you mentioned earlier was that, well, what about those parents that aren't interested in educating their kids? Because if you have a poor set of parents that are interested in educating their kids in the marketplace, they'll get that education because the charity will be available to help those people.
It was happening before we had government schools.
So poor parents that want to educate their kids would be able to do so. But what about the issue of parents that just don't want to send their kids to school? I think that unless those kids are being held against their will inside their parents' home, those kids, most kids, like to go outside and play and meet other kids, right? So presuming you don't have a set of parents that is holding their children captive, and if that's what you have, well, you're not even going to know the kids
exist. You're not going to do anything with them anyway.
Right. So presuming we've got a regular set of kids here that's allowed to go out and play and spend their day doing whatever they want, let's just say we've got parents that just don't care, that parents just aren't even interested in their kids. They popped them out. They put enough food on the table to keep them alive, but otherwise they just let them run wild. Well, these kids are going to meet kids their age, and they're going to find out that the kids their age are able to do things that that they're not able to do, that they're able to read books, they're able to communicate effectively, they're able to do things that they've learned by going to these various different schools that are in the area. And inevitably, there's that natural sort of human competition that's going to come into play where you want to be able to compete with these people. It'll be quite obvious to your kids that we're talking about that they aren't quite on par with their friends. And in fact, their friends keep learning all these neat new things. I don't think it would take very long for a young person to realize that what they would like is to be educated and to learn some of the same things that their friends are learning and to go and seek that out for themselves, to go and find, you know, to go to the charity on their own, or perhaps the charities will have some sort of outreach program or, you know, to help identify these at-risk kids that aren't getting the education. And certainly as they get older, this will become more and more apparent to them, this discrepancy between those who are going to be educated and those who just aren't. And again, what we're talking about here is a percentage of a percentage of a percentage. Most parents love their kids and are very interested in their success. So, I mean, the idea that this would even be a problem is pretty absurd on its face. But even if it was an issue, those kids could get the help they needed because as soon as they reached out for it, someone would be there to give them that assistance. And the only way they could not get that help is if their parents kept them as captives inside their home. As far as that's what I see.
Could or would. I think that, you see, that's what the people's concern is, you know, how many students out there wouldn't, you know, how many kids out there wouldn't, if their parents didn't force them to go to school, just choose not to go to school, would turn into essentially grunting apes worth little more than, you know, manual labor. I don't know. How much better are they now is really the question you have to ask yourself. How many of these kids, and I'm thinking you're talking about poor families. That's where I'm just guessing here. How many of these poor kids are essentially grunting apes, illiterate, unable to handle themselves in most fashions that are really only good for manual labor? And likely they're not doing manual labor because they're on welfare or living off of some woman who's on welfare.
I'd say you nailed it. There are plenty of those kids out there. Now look at the government schools and their test results, and look at how many kids drop out versus, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with dropping out. Sometimes it's the right choice to make. But look at how many kids graduate illiterate. There's a tremendous amount of them, more so in urban areas, certainly, but government schools promote illiteracy. They aren't interested, really, in educating kids too effectively, because as we know from people like John Taylor Gatto, who, by the way, is going to be speaking at the upcoming Liberty Forum, people like John Taylor Gatto have exposed the government school system for what it is. It's a system designed to create grunts. It's a system designed to create dumbed down people who are able to plug into certain simple jobs and just sort of continue down that path in the rat race for the rest of their lives. What we could have in the absence of government schools is such a variety of educational venues and options that we've got far smarter and more intelligent people out there in the world. A lot of intelligence has to do with what you're taught. And what you're taught in government school is to obey. More coming up.
You ever have one of those days where everything goes right? First, I get the best parking space at work. Tonight, I have a date with a very lovely Rachel. And today, I gave a killer presentation in Sydney, finalized a contract in London, and demoed our new product in Boston. Online, from my desk, with WebEx. WebEx lets me take meetings and give presentations from my desk. I just talk to clients on the phone, and they watch what's happening on my desktop from their desktop. So I can travel the world and still be here for my date tonight with Rachel.
Travel less, meet online. Go to WebEx.com and try WebEx free. Just click the radio graphic and enter promo code 600 to get a free trial and a free webcam too. Remember that code, 600, to qualify for the free webcam. WebEx, now part of Cisco and used by more than 5.5 million people every month. Give it a try, free. Go to WebEx.com and enter the promo code 600. WebEx.com. Free webcams available while supplies last. Terms and restrictions apply. See website for details.
Would you walk around with your credit card number displayed on your back for anyone to read? Of course not. But if you have one of the 50 million new contactless credit and debit cards in circulation in your wallet, that's exactly what you're doing. I'm Walt Augustinowicz, founder of Identity Stronghold, and we think this is information you need to know. You may not even realize you already have one of these cards because they look physically just like the old card. The difference is an RFID chip hidden inside the card that makes radio communication with the card possible, right through your wallet, purse, or pants pocket without you ever removing the card. Pickpockets no longer even have to touch you to get your information. Our company realizes the privacy danger this represents, and that's why we manufacture the Secure Sleeve, The Secure Sleeve is a patent-pending card sleeve that contains a radio frequency barrier, preventing radio signals from reaching your card. You can get more information and purchase the Secure Sleeve online at idstronghold.com. That's idstronghold.com or call us at 800-610-2770.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Collectors, outdoor enthusiasts, survivalists. The Army Navy store from your memory as a child is just that, a memory. But there is still one place to find everything from gas masks to ammo cans and find it cheap. MaineMilitary.com. Get hard to find objects like real wool blankets for under 20 bucks, canteens for just $2, or trioxane fuel for just $1 a box. M-A-I-N-E, Military.com with free shipping on items over $150, not including heavy items. Find surplus items for cheap now, like 30 caliber cleaning kit for just $2.99 a piece or a dozen for $30. Flare pistols are only $25. Want to add a brand new Israeli gas mask to your collection? Kids and adult sizes are just $20. Get G3 mags for just $2 or a military fuel can for only $16. Add the siphon hose for another $7.99. Find it all online at MaineMilitary.com. With shipping throughout the world, check out MaineMilitary.com or call 877-608-0179. That's 877-608-0179. Call today.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call toll-free 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231 and log on at freetalklive.com.
This is Free Talk Live. You can bring up anything by dialing toll-free even in these remaining moments. Just enough time for you. 1-800-259-9231, the SACL CAI toll-free line. It's Ian here with you.
And Mark.
800-259-9231. You can join us online at freetalklive.com. All the features are totally free, so enjoy those on us. And if again, freetalklive.com, those features include live streams, broadband version, dial-up version, webcam version, all free at listen.freetalklive.com.
Spring and summer internships in broadcast and print journalism. The Institute for Humane Studies is looking for good communicators in all majors to place at daily papers and major media outlets for the spring or summer. Did you notice how I stuttered over good communicators?
Yeah, well, you don't really have to be that good. You don't have to be that good to succeed in broadcast. As long as you can stay not, as long as you aren't getting drunk on the air, you can succeed in the world of broadcasting. I'm serious.
All positions, the fact is we've seen otherwise.
Who was sitting drinking on the air?
The old man at the Dove.
Oh, the morning show guy?
Yeah, I can't remember his name.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, I knew he chain-smoked in the morning, but I didn't know he was drinking.
Going through beer at the right there. Right there.
Starting out.
Ashing the filterless cigarettes in the beer can.
6 in the morning, smoking, chain-smoking and drinking in
the
studio,
right?
I think
he was in at 5, actually.
Yeah. Nice. It's possible. There you go. In fact, you can even run a radio station. Our old general manager would come in 3 sheets to the wind.
They certainly would leave that way.
Yeah.
All positions are paid and include a career workshop and opportunities to network. The deadline to apply for an early summer decision so that you can work at better stations than we ever did is November the 1st. Visit libertarianinternships.com for more information. Libertarianinternships.com.
I have to say.
I recommend this.
Yeah.
This is so great for kids.
And it's such a great idea. I mean, I've never been to it, so I can't speak personally, but I wish I'd had this opportunity when I was getting my internship a decade ago in radio. So, I mean, these people pay you to go and intern. You can't beat that.
You might get the internship of a lifetime turns into a job. You don't even have to finish those other 3 years of college and spend all that money. You might get what you want in the first year. They suggested that they wanted people basically that had finished 1 year in college.
They did say that.
However, you can contact them ahead of time and sort of talk to them. And, you know, maybe they'll make an exception
for
you.
Who knows?
But, you know... It seems like a really good thing to me.
Well, in fact, we're going to get it right.
Not only is it a really great thing, and they're paying us.
Yeah, well, I'm going to get it right tonight. If you're listening to this via the radio, you will not be able to hear this extended edition of the program. But afterwards, after the podcast, if you download the show later tonight from freetalklive.com, at the very end of the program, after the radio version of the show ends, we're going to tack on, I think, like a 15 or 20-minute interview with Scott from the Institute for Humane Studies, where we talk to him in detail about what this program really is and get some more information. So for those of you who are more interested in this, who maybe haven't gone yet to libertarianinternships.com, stay tuned after the podcast on tonight's show, and I promise I'll get it right tonight. We'll attach that. Let's continue here, Mark. A few moments remain. Still enough time for a few more of these. We're on number five. We may have to continue tomorrow night.
I can just whip through the main line.
The five more of the total of 10 of reasons why government schools are a lot like government prisons.
Both assume one solution for every individual. U.S. justice policy incorrectly assumes that incarceration will solve many social problems, such as drugs, prostitution, gambling, etc.
Yeah, that hasn't worked.
The U.S. Department of Education assumes that federal and/or state government standards should apply to every student. Both are incorrect assumptions. Nonviolent and white-collar offenders should be rehabilitated. Parents and kids should have choice and options in education. One size does not fit all. This would be one of the easiest things that they could do in the prison system, and likely they won't be doing it. But this is one of the easiest things they can do. And when I was in prison, I said this ahead of time. There should be three different types of prisons. They should have prisons for violent offenders, prisons for nonviolent offenders, and prisons for sex offenders. That way, they're separating people with different motivations, different personalities from each other. Because I remember.
Wait a minute. What kind of prisons would go in a sex offender prison? Or what kind of prisoners would go in a sex offender prison?
Well, the people that they sentenced for sex offenses.
Well, because most sex offenses are garbage.
Look, I'm not saying that sex offenses aren't garbage. I'm saying this is an easy solution to some current problems that we have.
Well, if we're going to be proposing pie in the sky, I mean, if we're going to be proposing pie in the sky, then we shouldn't be proposing something that we don't ideally want.
That's not pie in the sky. It's not pie in the sky.
They're not going to build three different types of prisons anytime soon.
There are 70-something different prisons in Florida. They're not building any prisons, Ian. They're shuffling convicts.
I see. You're saying they should reassign people to different places.
That's all. It's simple. They reassign people. They've got old men prisons. They've got young men prisons. They've got women's prisons. You know, obviously, they assign people for different reasons. It would be relatively easy. They have actually what they call a Psych 3 prisons, where you've got to be nuts and or nuttier, because there's Psych 4, as I recall. So they've got all kinds of prisons where they split people up. And especially in a state like Florida or Texas or California, where they've got a multitude of prisons, some prisons are split amongst themselves, where convicts, you know, from the East unit never go to the West unit. This is easy. I'm not saying we don't need lots and lots of revision, and I'm just saying that there's something that's easy. Anyway, number six. Both are unnecessarily expensive to taxpayers.
Oh, yeah.
Because politicians generally fear comprehensive solutions to problems, they end up throwing money at whatever doesn't work right.
Yep.
This is true to disastrous effects for both prisons and public schools. To whom the allocation of taxpayer largesse is tantamount to buying Italian leather love seats for the deck of the Titanic. 7. Both harm American competitiveness by keeping Americans from being productive. In prisons, felons can't vote. Even if they are nonviolent, except in Oklahoma, at least 10 years ago, even if they are nonviolent and otherwise productive citizens, in schools, poor education inhibits upward mobility, encourages dropouts, and breeds criminals. In many prisons, you can't earn any money at all. The prison I was at, there were 5 or 6 people earning cash, and I was the top of the tier at $75 a month. How am I going to put money away for, making it on the streets? They kick a guy out with $100.
Wow.
That's it. What are you expecting from these guys? Hmm. If you don't have a family system, if you,
you got nobody.
Right. If you don't want to go to some kind of Christian halfway house that they have out there, you're really in trouble.
Mm-hmm. Got to start selling some drugs, turning tricks, stealing.
Yeah. Both are institutions often internally ruled by intimidation and violence. The toughest, most callous inmates become the leader of the prisons. In prison slang, these individuals have keys to the car. Likewise, in public schools, the toughest students become the leaders of the school. They are the bullies or the jocks. Both of these prototypical alpha males are the de facto lords over their peers.
Yeah, so true.
When you read Lord of the... That's why Lord of the Flies is so damn interesting. Because we throw kids together in these unnatural things called schools, and this is the phenomenon that happens to some extent or another. There are the punishment dealers and the trendsetters. Number 9, both are ruled...
I'd like to comment on that real quick, because it is a real problem. The idea that these people, these angry teenage males that are big and tough, are lording their way over the geeks or whatever, the kids that can't defend themselves, that sort of thing. It happens in every school around the country. And I think that if every government school, I think if we had a private school system or a market-based school system, if you had kids that were harassing other kids on a regular basis, those problems would be dealt with. Because if I went home as a young, skinny teenage boy and told my parents that there were some toughs that were threatening me at school, if it was government school, very little would ever be done about it. But in a private school, my parents could go to the private school and say, hey, if you don't take care of this situation, we're going to pull our money from your system. And that would be the incentive that would be necessary for these private schools, these market schools, to rearrange their services in whatever way necessary, to restructure their organization in whatever way necessary, to ensure that people are safe at their schools. But the government schools don't have that incentive. In many cases, government schools, if some tough guy starts a fight, both kids are suspended. Even if all you're doing is defending yourself, you get suspended. So there's no real way to win in the government school system.
There's still fights in private schools. I certainly have them in my school. There was certainly bullying that went on. Probably most of it was verbal, but I
just feel like those problems could be solved better in a market-based school system, especially if there were more market-based schools.
What I never saw was sort of the gang violence kind of situation. I was intimidated by, groups of people in public school. Mm-hmm. I was only intimidated by one guy or something like that in private school.
Number 10.
Number 9. Both are ruled by cliques. The clique provides security in a scary and uncertain world. It also allows people to form a lasting bond between peers with similar interests or backgrounds. In prison, cliques are formed between the races. A member of a clique knows that he'll be protected by his fellow associates accosted by someone in a rival clique. Cliques commonly form in public schools as well.
Do you have time for 10?
Yep. Both have tenure. Both have tenure regulations not conducive to improvement. In public schools, tenure rules make it nearly impossible
to get rid of bad teachers. Yep. Absolutely the case, and probably the same thing with bad jail guards. All right, we're done. It's been Ian here with you.
And Mark.
Back tomorrow night. You can join us online in the meantime at freetalklive.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Did you miss your favorite shows on GCN today? Thanks to the continued support of our listeners, subscribers, and sponsors, we are proud to bring the GCN audience a new and exciting way to listen called On Demand. Available on GCNlive.com, On Demand plays each show continuously until the next time the show goes live. It's simple to use. Just go to GCNlive.com, click on the On Demand button, and find your favorite shows. Don't get discouraged. Get On Demand. Free. Thanks again to the listeners at GCNlive.com.
Looking for profit? Looking for safety and security? The $10 Olympic commemorative gold coin offers both. This low mintage collector coin with a total series mintage under $600,000 has sold at 4 times its current price. Falling dollar values and inflation make this likely to happen again. Secure your position today. Call Midas Resources at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237. In this age,